Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. He's a wonderful, wonderful God. Thank you for the worship. That last song, I tell you, if we could sing it a few more times, let it get in our spirit, might have revival break out, you think? Hallelujah. Well, God is doing what? A new thing. God is really doing a new thing. Will you stand with me as we speak that out loud today? Oh, Antoinette, you're back. Good to have you and your daughter and baby. Have you moved back? Oh, no. Well, good to have you today. Had to move away recently. So good to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. Ready? How many of you have good, strong lungs? How many of you wish you had? How many of you can give it your best? Three people. Lord Jesus, I give an altar call right now. Are you ready? Let's do it. 2019. God is doing a new thing. Isaiah 43:19. Be ready to be surprised by God. Ephesians 3:20. Are you ready to be surprised by God? If you are, give Him a praise. Give Him a shout of some kind of expectation today. Lord, we give You glory. We thank You this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're just standing, stretch a moment while I make a few comments. Jason's message last Sunday was about faith. And a great message, Wednesday night message by Beth Stevens Johnson by video, How to Keep the Victory. I mean, that was a powerful message on Wednesday night. You can go to YouTube and find that. Awesome message. Awesome message. You can order Jason's message from the back. Get the other one from YouTube. To have and to be. What do you have? Who are you? Just remain standing for a minute. Life is a gift from God. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. See, we all know that. We know it's a gift. Yet we find ourselves asking the question, who am I and what am I here for? People are still wondering sometimes. Everybody, every generation asks the same questions, don't they? There's a song that, old song says, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? I'm telling you, God loves you enough that He sent Jesus and He bled and He died for you and He died for me. Who am I? God just used, matter of fact, life and purpose has been designed by God. God just used mom and dad to get us here. Amen? Let me say it again. God used life and purpose has been designed by God. God just used mom and dad to get us here. How many of you glad you're here? Now we go to Psalms 139. And before we pray and have you to be seated, Psalms 139 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Okay, let me go over here. 139. Having a little trouble in the back today, I believe. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Father, I thank you for your presence today. I thank you for your word, already anointed, already inspired. Now, God, cause your word to come forth in power to accomplish what you desire in every life. We commit this time to you and say thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing in honor of the word of God today. Each of us has been fearfully and wonderfully made. God wrote down plans concerning you and me before we ever lived our first day on earth. Did you get that in the scripture we read? He already began to write. I want to remind you today that there are no accidents with God, and you are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. So if you're in the service or if you're watching by internet today, I remind you, you are not a mistake. Doesn't matter your background, don't matter who your mom and dad were, doesn't matter the circumstances when you were that caused you to be born. God already knew, and before you were born, He was already taking notes, already writing some things concerning your life. And that's an awesome thing. So I say it again, no accidents with God, and you're not a mistake. God created you. He gave you life, and your life Every one of us, all of us, your life equals purpose. You're not just here to live, to grow up, to work, to get a house, to die, and that's it. God created you with purpose for here before you go over there. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who am I? There's a children's song that says it all. Who am I? And I want them to play it right now. Amen. Wasn't that wonderful? Kids song, popular children's song, but really tells the truth about every one of us, doesn't it? Tells the truth. Who am I? Who are you? You're a promise. I like that. Your life is full of possibilities. No matter where you've been, what's happened in your life is full of possibilities. You're full of potential. Do you know the Bible teaches that about his, about people and especially about his people? You're full of potential. This is who you are. God never intended that we feel or think we can't make it, because God tells who we are. You know, we have all kinds of things to make us happy, or we think they make us happy. But we're always looking, but we're also looking for fulfillment. Have a lot of things, but have you found that nothing really fulfills? Nothing really satisfies? There's that need within us to feel satisfied and to realize our full potential. I'm telling you, though I know Christ and I've known him since 12 years old and I've pastored all these years, listen, I still don't think I've reached my full potential and who I ought to be in Christ. Anybody else there with me today? See? We have the need to accomplish and to perform well. There's the need to be satisfied and to really realize our full potential. But so often we look in the wrong places to bring happiness or to satisfy. If you'll go with me this morning to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, it says, "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life." Say eternal life. Eternal life. "And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Eternal life given to us. Sometimes it's hard to imagine what that means, isn't it? Eternal life. Let me just read W.B. Henson, just an illustration here. And he says, talking about eternal life, is thinking of the fullness and duration of this wonderful life. W.B. Henson, a great preacher of a past generation, spoke from his own experience just before he died. He said, "I remember a year ago when a doctor told me, 'You have an illness from which you won't recover.' I walked out to where I live, 5 miles from Portland, Oregon, and I looked across at the mountain that I love. I looked at the river in which I rejoice, and I looked at the stately trees that are always God's own poetry to my soul. Then in the evening, I looked up into the great sky where God was lighting his lamps, and I said, 'I may not see you many more times, but mountain, I'll still be alive when you're gone. Amen. And river, I'll still be alive when you cease running toward the sea. And stars, I shall be alive when you have fallen from your sockets in the great pulling down of the material universe.'" Amen. That's eternal life. When everything else is gone, you will still be alive. I will still be alive in the presence of the Lord if we know Him and we serve Him. Amen. Eternal life. Hallelujah. Eternal life. It appears in our text that we read, it appears that God is good at keeping records or keeping tabs on us. Do you know the Bible teaches that we're always in His thoughts? How many of you know you're always in His thoughts according to the Scripture? He's good at keeping tabs on us, not to see how bad we've been, but because He cares. He wrote some things concerning us before we were born. Matter of fact, I want you to say the next statement that's coming up on the screen with me, if you would, this morning. Say it with me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This is life. No matter who you are, if you're away from God, if you don't know Christ, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. If you're a born again Christian, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God gave us life. Now I want you to look at yourself. Look at your hands. Look at your legs. Think about your heart. Think about your lungs. Think about your brain. You're hearing, you're seeing, you're touching, you're tasting, you're smelling. This is life. Think about family. This is life. Last night, one of our sons and his wife took us to Raleigh for dinner. And when we got there, we were surprised because all of our children but one and their spouses were there. Amen. They surprised us with a big dinner for our 50th wedding celebration. Amen. That's life. Family is life. How many of you glad for life? Amen. Number one is this morning. The evidence speaks for itself. Remember 1 John 5:11 said, "This is the record. This is the record that God has given unto us eternal life. This is the record." The word record means evidence given. It means report. This is the testimony. This is the witness. Did you know that eternal life begins on day one when we receive Jesus as our Savior? It's not just over in the glory land. It's right here. Amen. Eternal life became yours and mine the day we accepted Jesus. The record or the evidence that we have eternal life is when we have Jesus. Is there anybody here that has Jesus? Amen. I have Jesus. Anybody have six people? Anybody here have Jesus inside of you? How many of you know you have Him in you? Come on, lift it up real high like you're not ashamed. He's in me, He's in me, He's in you. There's nothing like that. See, when we have Jesus, this is the evidence that we have eternal life. See, as people witness or see Jesus in you, they're proving you have eternal life. When He's seen in you, what they see is revealing you have eternal life. We sing a song sometimes, "Jesus Be Jesus in Me." And it's so easy to sing that song. I like the song. But it's something else for Him to be seen in your everyday life. Amen. When people see Jesus in your life and in my life, that's showing them that we have eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us walk in this eternal life. Life in Christ becomes number one to us. Every believer, knowing Jesus and serving Him, should be first. Amen. Come on, shout me down this morning. Should be first before job, before anything else. Jesus, relationship with God. So some of us walk in that eternal life. Some of us neglect this eternal life. Some even abuse eternal life, living totally opposite of who Jesus is. Because if we follow who He is with Him in our heart, we follow who He is, we'll reveal Christ to the world. And if there's anything God wants to happen through your life and mine, it's that we reveal Christ. Matter of fact, they need to know where you go to church. You shouldn't be so ashamed that you can't invite people to church. Matter of fact, if you really want to fill up this church, start inviting people. If you believe God is here, the anointing is here, God is moving and working, then start by inviting people to your church. Come on, shout me down this morning. Invite people to your church. The witness of Jesus in our lives is what does the most good. It's not our abilities and skills in other areas. It's Christ in us. Proverbs 19:23. And this is, today's message is different than normally that God gives me. But I just feel this is the direction of the Lord. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord tends to life. Anybody here love the Lord? Fear the Lord? Have respect for God? Amen. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. We're looking for satisfaction, and the scripture says, he that hath this fear of God and has this life is going to be satisfied. That doesn't mean that we don't want to grow anymore, become more like Jesus. That means he really satisfies our soul, gives us such a comfort and a help and a strength that nothing else can bring to us. Jesus satisfies and Jesus gives life. There's so many people living in an atmosphere of hopelessness. Don't have to look too far. I can think of some that have visited our church or have been in our church for a while that are out there now, not so much in great sin, but they're in a situation where they just feel hopeless and useless and there is no answer. The devil's robbed him. He's a thief, isn't he? Some are people who've been saved, but today they're out there out of fellowship with God. And it's not about what's missing, it's about who's missing. If we're not careful, we can get so busy with life that everything else comes first and we work Him in when we can. So it's not about what's missing, sometimes He's missing as a believer. So today's message, He's missing. So today, the question today is, what do you have and who are you? Again, Jason's message last Sunday morning about faith was challenging, convicting, encouraging. And we need all of that and more. Beth Stevens was about faith. How do you keep the victory? Her message raised our expectations and built up our faith. Anybody here need to build up your faith? Amen. Build up your faith. Today's message is about faith, and you'll see as we go along, this is the record. Have Jesus and have eternal life. Have Jesus, have eternal life. Have Jesus. We need to preach that again. Preach it more often. People have changed the definition of what it means to be saved. To be born again, they think if they go to church, they're saved. You can go to church until you die. But if you don't know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior and are not serving Him, then you're not saved. Come on, shout me down. I'm preaching the truth to you today. There's so much talk about God's forgiveness, and He does forgive. But to sin, knowing down the road, with the idea that down the road I'll ask Him to forgive me, I'm going to enjoy myself right now. And there's people that do that. 1 John 5 begins talking about faith and leads up to the record or the evidence of eternal life. I still like that song, I'm saved and I know that I am. I hope you can sing that song today. 1 John 5, let's go to verse 1. 1 John 5 and verse 1 through 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know, say we know. We know that we love the children of God when we love God and do what? Keep his commandments. Wow. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and the commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God does what? Oh, say it with me. Overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Two words stand out in verses 1 through 5. Belief and faith. Belief and faith. We talk about faith a lot. I'm a person of faith. Now, our church, I believe, over the years, even before we came, and I feel like we've preached the truth since we've been here, and others from this church that preach, I know they have. Our church has a good foundation of faith built on good teaching and preaching from the Word of God. Now, if anybody believes that, I should have heard an amen on the end of that. I believe we have a good foundation of faith. But I want to back up this morning to talk about what true faith is. Because I want you to be saved. I don't want you to just have a good feeling and think you're okay. I don't want any of us to think, listening by internet or being here today, that just because we go to church, we're all right with God. Come on, shout me down today. See, I want to know that you're saved and that you have eternal life. And I want to know that you are walking in the life God has for you. Part of my purpose for being here as a pastor is to help you know him and to walk with him. Am I making sense? The life God has for you. Second point is this: faith is believing. Now, if you can believe anything, now you can believe anything you want to believe. It's your choice. True? You can believe anything you want to believe. It's up to you. It matters who you believe in, because who you believe in will determine what you believe. See, there's the Hindu faith. There's the Muslim faith. There's the Mormon faith. There's the Jehovah Witness faith. There's the Christian faith. And there's so many more. I forget how many different, quote, Church of Gods there are in the world. A bunch. He's given us the answer here to be sure of our eternal life. Is true faith is believing Jesus is the Son of God. Is there anybody in the house that believes he's the Son of God, that you know he is without a doubt?
Amen.
See?
Amen.
See, this is foundational. This is where it all begins. If we can't believe that he's the Son of God, if we can't believe that he came and lived among us, born of a virgin, died and rose again, if we can't believe Jesus came, that he's the Son of God, then we'll never be saved.
Amen.
Jesus said, "No man cometh to the Father except by me." So just praying a prayer won't do it. We need to pray. How many of you remember praying a prayer asking Christ into your heart when you got saved?
Amen.
How many of you glad you know who you used to be?
Amen.
See, this is foundational. This is where it all begins. See, this is where faith to move mountains begins. Oh, we get excited. Boy, he preached a good message. Boy, that moving mountains, Lord, I'm ready. I know you can. Well, where do you think that started? It started when you decided to believe Jesus is the Son of God. This is where faith that overcomes has its beginning.
Amen.
If we ever get away from the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, we'll never have power in our lives. A church won't save you. It's not that you just have to start somewhere. It's that you have to start with the right faith. And I know what I'm preaching today is elementary to most of us, but we need to be reminded. See, the world is trying to take this truth away from us. Brother Ollie told me a year or two ago about the new Bible they're working on, Chrislam. Mixing Christianity and the Muslim, the Quran and the Muslim faith, and come up with a new. You can't do that. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. And so many circles in the world, you can talk about Muhammad, you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about all these others, but you start talking about Jesus and His love and His mercy and His grace, and they shut you out. This is what the world needs. They need to know without a doubt, Jesus is the Son of God, and there is no other. 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And I can hear some of you thinking now, well, just because you believe He's the Son, then I'm saved. Well, let's talk about that a little bit this morning. I remember a lady I knew many years ago, an older woman who witnessed to somebody and came and told me, that woman got saved today. Amen. And she told me what she said to her. She said, I talked to her and she said, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? And she said, yes. She said, you're saved. Amen. Now, the Bible teaches that the devil and the demons believe who Jesus is. They know He's the Son of God. I'm telling you, they're not going to be saved. Amen. Amen? Let's read chapter 1, verse 5 again. Chapter 1, verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 1, who believeth Jesus is the Christ, the risen Son of God. That word believeth means to have faith. It means to entrust our one spiritual well-being to Christ. So when we say, I believe, see, that means that you have entrusted your life to Him. A lot of people say, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. But they've never put their trust in Him. Amen. They've never put their spiritual well-being into Christ. So just because somebody says, I believe, doesn't mean they're born again. Come on, shout me down today. We need to be reminded of the foundations of the gospel and who we are in Christ. To have faith and trust one's spiritual well-being. Chapter 5, verse 4, whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith that overcomes the world's thinking, the world's philosophy, that overcomes wrong attitudes, evil speaking, evil actions. Faith that overcomes immoral lifestyle. Faith that can stand the test of time is what I'm talking about today. It's not faith in your pastor. It's not faith in, if you put more faith in me than you do in God, you're in bad trouble. Because I've come short, I've fallen short. God never comes short. He never falls short. So never put your faith in a person above your faith in God. Just because a pastor says it, you better check the scripture, make sure he's online. Some people trust pastor's opinion and pastor's word more than to do God's word. Don't ever do that. This is the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. Faith means persuasion, moral conviction of religious truth, reliance upon Christ for salvation, the truthfulness of God, assurance, belief, faith. Can you see the connection, faith and believing? Faith is really believing. It's putting your trust, relying upon Christ for salvation. Now, I'm not talking about a wimpy God. It wasn't a wimpy God at 12 years old that healed me of a muscle disease. It's not a wimpy God who healed Eloise's heart in the past. It's not a wimpy God who saved my soul and saved your soul. It's not a wimpy God who's brought you and me out of places that we got our own self in and changed our life. We're talking about a mighty God. Our God is a mighty God. He's a deliverer. It's not a wimpy God. I'm not talking about weak faith and wimpy believing. I'm talking about our God who was and is and will be. He's always been, He'll always be, and He is right now. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the only wise God who is faithful and dependable. There's nobody like Him. No wonder that doctor told Eloise, pray first. We'd have less trouble in our lives if we'd pray first. Turn around and tell somebody, you better pray first. You better pray first. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about faith that moves. I'm talking about faith that moves mountains and changes circumstances. I'm talking about a faith that speaks to the impossibilities and makes them possible. I'm talking about a faith in God that brings change to your life and change to those around you. I'm talking about a faith that can change not only your life, but affect everybody that watches you, everybody that knows you. When Christ is in your life, we have an effect on people's life that can help point them to Jesus. The foundation of our faith is believing Jesus is the Son of God. I know He is. And so do you, or you wouldn't be here today. We have a great God. Faith. Believing. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12 says, "For the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed." Do you know who you've believed? "And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day." You got to know who you believe. You got to know who you put your trust in. And you got to be confident in your heart. God's able to keep anything and everything and even you that you've committed your life to Him. All starts by knowing without a doubt He's the Son of God. Jude chapter 1 and verse 24. Jude 1 and verse 24. "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling." Anybody ever fail before? I'm not talking about in the physical. Anybody ever fail since you believed? Come on. Look around. We've fallen. But the Bible says He's able. What? He's able what? To keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Tell the person beside you, you can make it. It's a song, "You Can Make It." This trial you're going through, He's going to see. This trial you're going through, God is able to take you through. You can make it. But you can make it only through Him. Hallelujah. If you fall, or when you fall, He's able to keep. Why do we fall? Is it His fault I fail? Nope. Whose fault is it? Is the devil's fault I fail? No. We blame a lot on the devil. Is it your friend's fault you fail? Whose fault is it that I fail? Three people, me, myself, and I. You. Me. He said He's able to keep us from falling. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. Proverbs 24, 16 says the following. "For a just man falls seven times, just or righteous." Anybody righteous today? How many of you are too righteous to raise your hand? To be righteous means you know Christ and you're doing your best to live to please Him. Through the power that He gives you. Anybody righteous here now? Amen. A just man or a righteous man falls seven times and rises up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. You know what He's saying? If you get down, get up. Amen. If you get down, get up. I like the Message Bible. It says, no matter how many times you trip them up, God-loyal people don't stay down long. Soon they're up on their feet while the wicked fall flat on their faces. How many of you glad you can get up again? How many of you glad you can get up again? Anybody here ever got up more than once? Come on. How many of you glad you can get up? He said seven times. Hallelujah. Anybody need today? Because God has helped you. You've got up again and you've kept walking with God. Just because you've fallen, does that mean that you're no longer with Him? No. But you got to get up. Amen. You got to get up. You can't stay down there. You can't stay in the defeat. You can't stay in the sin. You got to get up. You got to shake yourself. You got to put forth the effort. I'm going to get up again. Lord, I failed You. I've disappointed You, but I'm going to get up. Just like the prodigal son. He said, I've had enough of this life. I'm going home. And if you've had enough enough of the life of where you've been struggling. It's time to get up again, and it's time to come home. It's time to go back to Jesus. It's time to once again walk with Him. Get up. See, God loyal people, this is who you are. Don't we need to know who the Bible says we are? This is scratching the tip of the iceberg. 1 John chapter 5. Let's go back over there. Verse 1 through 3, please. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you believe it, raise your hand. If you know it, raise your hand. See? Everyone that loveth Him, that begat Him, loveth Him also that is begotten. Verse 2. By this we know. Say it again. We know. Matter of fact, the rest of this chapter is full of we know all through it. He wants us to know some things, not guess about them. He wants you to be sure of your salvation. He wants you to be sure that God is with you. He don't want you to go through life wondering what you're going to do next and how you're going to make it. He wants you to trust Him. Amen. See, but this we know. By this we know we love the children of God. Do you love other believers? It's got to start here. If you're going to love people in the world, help get them saved. You've got to love each other. I can't stand brother so-and-so. I can't stand sister so-and-so. Well, you better get an altar so you can stand them. Amen. Let God change your heart. Amen. Amen. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Wow. Those who love God and love God's people, are you ready for this? Keep His commandments. Amen. Brother Bracken, I just can't live that way. Well, something's wrong in your relationship with God. If I can't live this way, something's wrong with me, not God. Now, I'm not putting anybody down today. I'm wanting to look at the reality that through Christ, seems like the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I have to choose to rely on the right power. It's His power, not the power of my flesh. Amen? As a believer, this is what we do. We overcome. As a believer, this is what we do. We obey His commandments. This is who we are. Life, yes, what a gift it is. But eternal life is even greater. You can have life and die without Christ. But what about having life and eternal life attached to that? Amen. Eternal life. Hallelujah. Eternal life, it's a change of heart. It's a change of life. It's a change of destiny. Amen. Earlier I said people are looking for fulfillment, and we have all kinds of things we hope will make us, will add to our happiness. Did you know that it's okay to work and enjoy what you have labored for? Amen. Ecclesiastes 2:24, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I say, that it was from the hand of God. Think about that. Ecclesiastes 3:13. Also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is the gift of God. You mean being able to work and provide is a gift? From God? Ecclesiastes 5:18. Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all of his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his portion. So working. When I was young, just starting to work, I thought about when I'd be able to retire. Anybody remember doing that? Amen. Then I remember, Lord, that's 30 years. That's 40 years. Now I'm down to 20. Now I'm down to 10. Dear Lord, I'm here. Now that I'm old enough to retire. I know I don't look it, but I'm old enough to retire. But now I don't want to. Well, I wanted to when I was young. How many of you want to? Some of you, come on. Oh, Kelly, at least Kelly's telling the truth. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Now listen. If all you want is having enough food and drink and a home and a car and money in the bank, then that's what you can have. You can do that. People do that all the time that don't know Christ. It all comes from His hand according to the Scripture, doesn't it? So you need to enjoy what you have and be thankful. Whether you're a Christian or not, you need to be enjoy it. But it's not eternal life. It's life, but it's not eternal life. It's not the saving of the soul. So the next time you dread going to work, it's a gift from God. Somebody said, God, give me another job. And I'll really appreciate that is a gift from God. 1 John 5:11-12. Go back there again. 5:11-12. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, what? Does not have life. So the evidence speaks for itself. What is your witness to those around you? What's my witness? As a believer, others are to witness Jesus in us. Do you know that? They're to witness Jesus in you. This is who we are. This is who you are. God loyal people. This is who we are. Who we're supposed to be. Faith is believing Jesus is the Son of God. This is where it all starts. Then entrusting your life to Him. This is the record. This is the evidence of eternal life. When you have Jesus in your life. Brother Bracken, why are you preaching that? Because God gave it to me to preach. Somebody needs to hear it today. Life. When you have Jesus in your life, it's not just life any longer. It's eternal life. And like W.B. Henson said, when everything else is gone, I'll be alive. I'll be alive. When everything else is gone, Brother Gary, your mom will still be alive. Because she's alive right now in the presence of God. Absolute fullness of life is a life that's devoted to God. He that hath the Son has life. What kind of life? Eternal life. John says abundant life. When does it end? Never. Just think. You're going to get to spend eternity with me. Can you believe it? And I'm going to get to spend eternity with you. I wonder if you're going to be my next door neighbor. Eternity. It's a long time. I remind you, eternity begins on the day you accept Christ as your Savior. So why a message like this today? 1 John 5:13. He said, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, say may know, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you believe on the name of the Son of God. Why this message? Because I want you to know. I want you to know that you're saved. I don't want you to guess that you're saved. I don't want you to think you're all right when you're not. And I'm not judging right now. I'm just telling you, I care for you as your pastor. I want you to have the life that Jesus died to give you. And I know that life is hard. And I know that sometimes it gets so hard in our families, in our finances, in our health, just all around, that sometimes it pulls us down. But please, don't let it pull you down to where you say, being a Christian is not worth it. Because I'm telling you, knowing Jesus is worth it all. I want you to know that you're saved. I want you to know that your heart's right with God. I'm not talking about being perfect. If you're looking for somebody perfect, I can only point you to one person, and His name is Jesus Christ. There are no perfect people on this world, but there are people who are walking in eternal life right now. That is who I am. That's who God says you are. That's who God says He wants you to be, walking in eternal life. Have you confessed your sin? Have you asked God to forgive your past? Sincerely, then you forgive yourself. Some of us look back and I can't believe I did that, but I did. God never will. Lord, I know I've prayed, but I just feel like this weight still, if the weight's still on you, it's because you keep it on you. Or the devil tries to keep it on you and you're listening to him. So whatever the past, confess to Jesus. Ask him into your life. Let him lift the burden. And when Satan tries to bring it back again, tell him he's a liar, that you're free. And then walk and live and act like you belong to Jesus. Amen. And when you mess up, fess up. When you fall, get up. Amen. And keep walking with Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, will you stand with me today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to know you're saved. I want you to know without a doubt that you have eternal life. I want to help you walk with Jesus. That's part of my reason for being here. I want you to enjoy the fullness of the life that only Jesus can give. Nobody can give the kind of life that really gives hope and peace. What do you have? Who are you? Learn who the Bible says you are. There's times I felt like a heel as a believer because I failed him. I felt like a heel because I disappointed him. Amen. Then I got disappointed with me. If I'd let the devil get on the same bandwagon with me, I'd still be living in disappointment. I tell you, Jesus can help you get over the disappointments that you have in yourself. He loves you. He loves you. He died for you. So believing God is real, believing Jesus, Son of God, by itself is not enough. You got to look at what the definition of the word is and trust your spiritual well-being to Christ. Trust Christ for salvation. And it all begins with believing He's the Son of God. So if today you're here, you're a little bit downhearted, maybe you're down on yourself, maybe life is hard and you're having a hard time getting out, or maybe you feel like you're having to crawl out. You ever been there? Just got to crawl my way out because, Lord, I just don't feel like you're with me. I don't feel your presence. God, it's been so hard. I don't feel secure. Then come out of that. How do you come out? Tell him. He already knows. Tell him. And thank him for his help. Begin to worship. Begin to praise him. Begin to love on him. Begin to read his word. Everything will start changing. And you won't be in that rut any longer. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the promise of eternal life. He that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God doesn't have life. Eternal life. God, I'm glad for the day I was born. I'm glad when I was conceived, because even then you took some notes. And Lord, you've had a plan for my life, and each one of us standing here now, and we may feel like we're 100 miles away, Lord, from what that plan is. But God, I thank you that you have a way of bringing us back on track with what the plan is. Because it's your plan we want. Lord, I speak to that one who has lost their joy today. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll touch that woman or that man or that young person. The joy is gone. Lord, restore the joy of salvation right now. May the finger of God and the hand of God come upon them, and may that peace just begin to overwhelm, because right now they're just admitting to you, Lord, this is who I am. This is what I'm going through. And Lord, I don't like it, and I need your help, and I just want to thank you for being my God. And as they begin to say that, Lord, things are beginning to break. I pray for that person right now. That's had the latest report was cancer. I pray for Raymond, who's back here today, who just discovered he has colon cancer. Dear Lord, we pray for him today. I thank you, God, for his faith being built up and becoming strong in the Lord, because, Lord, with all the doctors can do, Lord, you're the one that produces and brings the healing. So I thank you for your hand upon him to do miracles. And while I'm praying for him now, I thank you for the Holy Ghost touching Raymond right now in the name of Jesus. Raymond, lift up your heart. Begin to thank God, because he's not only your Savior, but he's the healer of your body. That comes with being saved. That comes with knowing Jesus. Father, you know where we are. You know where we've been. There may be some here today, Brother Bracken. I just need to rededicate my life to the Lord. I know everything you've said is true, but I just feel like I just need to say, God, here I am. Lord, I give myself afresh to you so you can do your will in my life. If that's you, don't just lift your hand up real high. Now, keep it held up right where you're standing. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Anybody else today? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I praise you. I praise you. The next part of the service is to be Holy Communion. But as we come to partake of the communion, men, if you'll come down, find your place at the front here. I want you to come through the middle aisles, partake, and then stand around the front. If you can't stand, you're welcome to sit. But come on up, if you would, whoever's helping you with that. If you need prayer today as you come to get your emblem, just keep walking to where I am. I'd be glad to pray with you. Okay? Middle aisle. Come up the middle aisle. The men will be there in just a second. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, amen. We praise you today.